United States versus Gates.
Good morning, Your Honors. Amy Senya on behalf of Mr. Gates. This case involves the use of a drug dog during a routine traffic stop for speeding. And instead of diligently pursuing the traffic-based mission of that stop, the trooper here diverted from the mission to message another trooper and arrange for a dog to sniff the car for drugs.
But it didn't delay anything. He hadn't even gotten his proof of car rental by the time the dog circled the car and found the stuff.
The Rodriguez moment that we're arguing about here, Your Honor, is not when the dog sniffed the car. It's earlier in the stop when Trooper Nielsen diverted from the mission of the stop to message another trooper.
Well, what? Clicked the mic and said, Joe, can you come over? Click.
It was not the radio call. It was when the trooper got back into the patrol car and sent a message asking Trooper Jackson to come bring his dog and do the
stop. Did it extend the stop?
It did extend the stop.
By how much?
There's not a specific factual finding, Your Honor, on how long it was.
Seconds or minutes?
Looking at the dash cam video, that's volume 4, exhibit 1B at 2:48, it appears to be about 10 seconds when there is nothing happening other than the trooper messaging the other trooper to arrange for the dog.
And where the individual was looking for his materials to give to the officer.
That's correct, Your Honor.
If he had sat there and smoked a cigarette while the guy was doing it, it would have the same 10 seconds.
That's correct, Your Honor, but that's not the proper inquiry here. And that all comes back to what Rodriguez says about what officers can do during traffic stops. So the question is, or the standard is that an officer, of course, has to act reasonably when he conducts a traffic stop. But what reasonableness means depends on what the officer is doing at the time. And so you can think of it as there's two tracks or two options.
Does it make any difference what the defendant is doing at that time?
It does not, Your Honor. Oh. And so the first track is when the officer is on mission. And that is when the officer is doing things related to the traffic stop. And when that's the case, we don't hold the officer to an unrealistic standard.
Oh,
we don't
yes,
say.
We do.
Well, that's, I think you're talking about the second track, Your Honor. And so the first track, we look at general reasonableness. And the second track, which is the track that's at issue here, is what happens when the officer instead decides to detour from the mission of the stop to conduct a criminal investigation without reasonable suspicion. And the Supreme Court says in Rodriguez that when that's the case, when we're in the second track, it is per se unreasonable. Even if it's a few seconds, there's no such thing as a de minimis Fourth Amendment violation. And in Rodriguez,
Is there a Fourth Amendment violation when the dog goes around the car?
We are not challenging, Your Honor, because it was simultaneous with other tasks that a second officer was doing. So that is a different rule that's not at issue here when you have two officers. One is working on the traffic stop. One is doing a suspicionless investigation. There's no problem here.
Okay.
It's different when there's only one trooper on the scene, as there was here at the time of the Rodriguez moment, and when there's nothing else going on. There's no other work that's being done.
Well, doesn't the officer have the opportunity and maybe, I don't know if it's a right, but at least it's within the Constitution for an assurance that the defendant, this person pulled over, has legal use of the car? And we're still under that question, aren't we, at this point? Because he has not yet seen a rental agreement. And the defendant here is flipping through his phone trying to find it.
So
how is there an extension?
There's an extension, Your Honor, because of this court's opinion in Frazier. It was the exact same facts. The driver in that case could not find the rental agreement for the entire duration of the stop. This court said, notwithstanding the fact that there was no rental agreement, that the driver had been able to produce, that there was a delay because the officer took time to arrange for a dog sniff instead of completing traffic-related tasks, and he could have been doing that. And so this court said that necessarily adds time. We know that.
Well, here the time that you're looking at, as I understand it, is the text message that says, run it.
That's correct, Your Honor. And so I understand that 10 seconds in the abstract may not seem like a lot, but again, we have the two tracks, and we're talking about the track that makes it per se unreasonable. And if we take a step back and think about what it is we're really asking here, it's when is it okay for the police to detain someone, to investigate them for committing a crime, without any suspicion to believe that they've done anything wrong? And of course that's unlawful. Of course that's a Fourth Amendment violation, just as a Terry stop without reasonable suspicion would be a violation, even if it only lasted a few seconds. And so that's why the inquiry here is whether there was a detour at all and whether the officer could have been working on the traffic stop during that amount of time. We know that's the case here. It was the same exact situation as in Frazier. And there is, of course, no de minimis exception to the Fourth Amendment.
Now, what is the standard of review here in this case?
The standard of review is de novo. So the question of whether something prolongs a stop can be a factual question. It can be reviewed for clear error, depending on what the argument is. Here, we're not arguing that as a historical fact that Mr. Cates was not searching for the rental agreement. That was what was happening. The argument is that whether the district court erred in giving legal significance to that fact, saying that the detour of Trooper Nielsen's didn't matter because of that fact. And this court already answered that question in Frazier. This court said that a missing rental agreement can justify extending the duration of the stop to investigate lawful authority of the car. He could have called Budget Rental. He could have asked other questions.
Well, there you were talking about 4 minutes in Frazier, and you were talking about a dog calling for the dog and delaying until the dog arrived.
It wasn't.
That's not the facts here.
The material facts are the same, Your Honor. It is true that the delay in Frazier in arranging for the dog sniff was 3 minutes, but
and
that
was. And he also issued the ticket by the time the dog got there, hadn't he?
No, he hadn't. There was no ticket ever issued here because they switched to.
The sniff occurred after he had gotten the ticket, after he received it.
No, Your Honor. There was no ticket that was ever issued
no,
here.
No, not in this case.
Oh, I see. And
Frazier or Rodriguez.
It was in Rodriguez, Your Honor, and this court as well as the Supreme Court has said that it doesn't matter whether the delay is before or after or during. The point is whether it adds any amount of time. And that is
what could the officer have done during these 10 seconds that he should have done, in your opinion?
He could have typed in the driver's license number to run the license.
It would have taken him about 8 or 9 seconds.
It would have been the same exact amount of time, Your Honor. He could have completed or began to work on a traffic-related task, and he did not do that. And so under this court's precedent in Frazier, that is necessarily a prolongation of the stop.
On to dog records,
right? before I move on to dog records, Your Honor, I want to make sure that my point about the two tracks is clear. And the reason why there's no such thing as a de minimis exception, and if you look at the Supreme Court's opinion in Rodriguez, this de minimis language comes from Mims, which is about an exit order. And in that case, there was a question of whether it would be okay for an officer to order somebody out of a vehicle, an exit order. Because that was for safety reasons, the Supreme Court said that that's a de minimis intrusion that we're not going to worry about. But in this context, where it's not for safety reasons, it is instead for an investigation without reasonable suspicion, then in that context, there is no such thing as a de minimis intrusion. And the court likened it to an exit order. And of course, an exit order would only be a few seconds.
Well, would be breaking new ground to say that you can't delay by 10 seconds?
No, Your Honor. Courts in other circuits have said similar things.
I don't think any court has ever said 10 seconds is too long.
The Third Circuit, Your Honor, in Clark, and that was cited in the reply brief, it was a 20-second detour. So
20 seconds, okay.
It's true, Your Honor.
So that's, how do we get down to 10?
Because it's just a per se bright line rule. We're not asking whether 10 seconds is reasonable or 20 seconds is reasonable, because that's not the proper inquiry under Rodriguez, says the Supreme Court. Instead, it's just a bright line rule. It doesn't matter the duration,
okay,
as long as something happens instead of working on traffic tasks.
Now, I have one other question. I thought in Malone, we said that it was a clear error review.
That is true, Your Honor. And the issue in Malone that was ultimately dispositive was a factual issue. It's an issue of historical fact, what the driver was doing at the time of the detour that the defense disputed. It was not the legal significance of that fact that the defense disputed. And in that case, the court suggests that it may not be a prolongation if the documents are not necessary for the officer to take the next step. Of course, we know from Frazier and we know from the facts here that the officer had everything that he needed to work on his next steps. He testified that he pulled Mr. Cates out of the car so that he could look for the rental agreement while completing the traffic stop. He took a detour first, but then he did go on to work on the citation for speeding.
Yeah, 4 minutes went by in Frazier.
It was 3 minutes, Your Honor, yes, but that was not part of the court's reasoning. The court didn't say, because this was 3 minutes, this was a Fourth Amendment violation. The court said what Rodriguez said, which is there is no such thing as de minimis exception. We just look if there's any amount of time added. And just quickly, I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal, but on the Rule 16 issue, we think that that is squarely presented in the briefs. The legal error is clear, but I'm happy to answer any questions about that if Your Honors have any.
Well, there's a lot of ground there. There's forfeiture, there's waiver, there's a lot of things. You want to talk about it or just read what you wrote?
I'd just be happy to answer any questions. The dog sniff issue is the issue that gives my client more relief, and we think that the Rule 16 issue is squarely presented in the briefs. But if you have specific questions, I'm happy to answer them.
If you prevail on the dog records, what relief would you seek?
The relief would be a remand for a new probable cause hearing to allow the defense to review those records, potentially have an expert testify about those records, and then it would just be that narrow question of whether the dog's alert provided probable cause.
So you wouldn't seek vacation of the conviction?
Only if, after that probable cause hearing, the court determines that there was no probable cause. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is TJ Forwood. I'm an assistant United States attorney in the District of Wyoming, and I am handling the appeal in this matter today. The key question on the first issue is, did the trooper do anything that made the traffic stop longer? And the answer is unequivocally, no. When he was pulled over, when Mr. Case was pulled over, he was asked for his identifying information. The stop itself, there's no allegation that the stop was not valid. He asked for license, registration, insurance, all the typical things. But what he could not provide was the rental agreement or valid insurance. Of note, in the reply brief, there was mention of Wyoming statutes requiring rental agreement information or insurance information. And under 31-2-224 in the Wyoming state statutes, it only talks about the registration not being required. Nothing about the rental agreement. And all of our case law shows that rental agreements are important to show that the person is authorized to drive the vehicle.
Well, how do you distinguish? That was exactly the same with Mr. Frazier, too.
And I think one of the large distinctions first with Frazier, Your Honor, is that that was an analysis under extending the stop for reasonable suspicion. It was looking at whether the actions they took to extend that was there. And in Frazier, the note I have here, I'm fine. Is, I mean, regardless with Frazier.
Wait a minute. You're saying that wasn't a Rodriguez issue? It wasn't prolonging that it wasn't a Rodriguez moment for purposes of the traffic stop?
There was mentions of the, it talks about the Rodriguez moment, not mentions. It clearly talks about it. But what happened there, what the argument occurs in Frazier is whether or not they had reasonable suspicion to extend the stop. Here, the United States
because
is not.
Because there was a Rodriguez moment.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they were arguing the United States more or less, my reading of it, Your Honor, is that they kind of gave up on the fact that it all occurred during the traffic stop. Here, the United States is saying everything is occurring during the traffic stop itself. There was nothing that extended it. And there, as I read it, they start going into the six different things that go, the six different factors they looked at, one of which was the rental agreement. And in Frazier, they do state, the court there states that a rental agreement is something that an officer can inquire into. But the whether the rental agreement is valid or not is not necessarily reasonable suspicion to extend the stop. And one point as well from...
You keep using the term reasonable suspicion.
Yes.
You know, reasonable suspicion is a term that connotes criminality. You know, and maybe I'm just misunderstanding what you're saying. The whole point in Frazier is it was applying Rodriguez. You know, was there any detour to the mission of the traffic stop? And Mr. Frazier couldn't find his rental agreement, and he's fishing around for it. He tells the officer what the rental car company is, just like the Mr. Cates. It says it's a budget rental car. And the court says that this very brief period of time, a minuscule period of time, to use the messaging system in the car to message the officer to do a canine sniff was unrelated to the traffic stop. It couldn't be justified by virtue of the fact that Mr. Frazier is still looking for his rental agreement, just like Mr. Cates. I'm just not seeing how this is factually different at all.
If I may, Your Honor, reading straight from here, subsection 5 in Frazier, when it states about the missing rental agreement, it states, finally, the district court cited Mr. Frazier's inability to find his rental agreement. This might have provided reasonable suspicion under other circumstances, but it's no use to the government in this case. Okay. It's talking very squarely about reasonable suspicion and how that stop was extended. And here, the United States is not saying that the stop was extended whatsoever. Importantly, the next sentence there, Your Honor, states, a driver's inability to produce a rental agreement may justify continued detention for the purpose of investigating his authority to drive the vehicle, but it cannot justify continued detention for the purpose of investigating drug trafficking. And that's the distinction here, Your Honor, is that it was not, waiting for that rental agreement was not providing reasonable suspicion for drug trafficking. The extension for the rental agreement was just to get the rental agreement, just to show that he was authorized to actually operate the vehicle. And I think that is the distinguishing part from Frazier to this case here, Your Honor. And one other thing too, I just read that part right there. So continuing, Your Honor, is that compared to Frazier, it is very, very different situation here. We are talking about 10 seconds. It's not working backwards from Frazier about questioning a driver for 4 minutes before returning a car.
How do you deal with Rodriguez, in particularly Mayville, that says there is no de minimis exception?
I agree completely, Your Honor, and there's not a de minimis exception.
So but here, why is it 10 seconds any different than 6 minutes?
And here, I think it's what we look at here, Your Honor, is the language in Rodriguez, it quotes Caballos, in which it states, did anything happen that unreasonably extended the stop? And here, de minimis, to be frank, I have a hard time wrapping my mind with this as well, too, Your Honor, is that 10 seconds is not unreasonable. It's a very, very brief time. Is it de minimis? Is it amount of time? Absolutely it is. Anything more than a split second is some amount of time. But what we look at is, were the actions by law enforcement unreasonable? Did they do anything that unreasonably extended it? And here,
I don't see how you can get that out of Malone, Frazier, or particularly Rodriguez. The whole point is, was there a detour from the mission of the traffic stop?
No.
Well, you have an ally here.
I would like to ask a question.
But I would like you to answer my question before he answers.
Oh, and my answer was going to be no as well. And the reason, Your Honor, is because part of the traffic stop includes ensuring the person can drive the vehicle. He was never able to produce the rental agreement. He was never able to provide insurance. He had to show that he could lawfully drive the car. He could not. He had to show that he was properly insured. Wyoming statute under 31-2-225 requires proof of insurance be carried at all times. And it's not. And he was waiting on this.
But my only question is about this. When you say reasonableness,
yes.
You know, when you say reasonableness, how can there be a gloss on reasonableness with regard to the reasonableness of a detour from the mission of the traffic stop and reconcile that with Mayville that specifically says there is no de minimis exception? It is either, it's binary. There's either a detour from the mission. That's all I'm trying to ask. Is if there's a detour from the mission of the traffic stop that lasts 3 seconds or 30 minutes, then there is no de minimis exception. I don't see how you can square factoring in the reasonableness of the detour from the purpose of the traffic stop. Well, now there is certainly a de minimis exception.
No, and I think what would be, Your Honor, is with that is their actions diverting from the traffic stop, is that extending the traffic stop? And I think that is where it comes down to in the very end is whatever diversions they are taking, whether it's smoking a cigarette or texting somebody, is that extending the traffic stop? And it did not extend the traffic stop in this situation. And from a 28-J letter, one point I very much appreciate in there that they said, quoting from Mayville, is this is because it's reasonableness rather than efficiency that is the touchstone of the Fourth Amendment.
Well, isn't the touchstone also in this case who extended the stop?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
And it was the defendant who extended the stop by not having access to the requisite documents.
Absolutely,
Your Honor. The policeman didn't do anything.
No, Your Honor, absolutely not. And one of the amazing telling things in this case is the canine showed up within 3 minutes and alerted in less than four. I don't want to admit in front of Your Honors how many times I've been pulled over in my life, but in every single occasion, it took at least a good 10, 15 minutes. The actions by the officers in this situation were incredibly reasonable, and the actions he took were quick, and it did not delay from this at all. It was the actions of the defendant that made it take longer. He had to provide that information. He never could. The only reason it lasted as long as it did, well, that's not fair to say here, Your Honor, because that 4 minutes the dog alerted. Had he had all the information, maybe it would have been quicker, but he did not, and that is what we were dealing. It's not the hypotheticals. He did not have the information. He had to ensure that he could properly drive that vehicle. To touch on the second issue, I'll begin first with the appellate waiver. The appellate waiver itself talks about the findings in the motion to suppress. It was not a discovery motion that they were doing. It was a motion to suppress.
But in the motion, they talked about wanting discovery of the records.
In the initial motion.
Well, not the Rule 17. Move on from that.
Yeah.
And that's the oral motion at the suppression hearing.
Mm-hmm. And I went back and forth with that a little bit, Your Honor. During that hearing, they then try to make a Jenks argument that it's there. And it's not until the prosecutor states they're making a motion for discovery, disguise is there.
And I'll go with that. So there we are. Okay.
Yeah. Which I think then also leads to the second issue as well, where my second part of it, the forfeiture, tied into the first part of the appellate waiver, is that one of the important things about forfeiture is that the appellant never made a sufficiently definite, specific, and detailed non-conjectural discovery request. The reason that this argument is forfeited is because there was no formal motion for discovery. There was
Can't
no developed record.
Can't you make an record. Oral motion?
Pardon?
I mean, can't the defendant make an oral motion?
Absolutely. Your Honor,
and hadn't the court at the prior hearing or in its prior ruling, I don't think there was a hearing on the Rule 17, in that order, the court said, I don't even know if these records exist.
Absolutely correct,
Let's
Your Honor.
Let's get into this. We'll have a hearing. So come on down to the hearing. So they had the hearing, and lo and behold, the trooper is very open about these. We have lots of records, and let me tell you all about them.
Yeah.
And so then the defendant says, I would like to see those records, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. Then where are we?
Then we'll go to the third issue for that, Your Honor, is that in Florida v. Harris, it states there that the controlled environment tells us everything we need to know. And what it states in there is that the defendant is entitled to cross-examination of the handler. They're entitled to know about the certificate, if there is a valid certificate, and to bring in their own witness if they want to, a fact witness or an expert witness to attack the credibility.
But how do you go there when you don't have the baseline information to know what the dog did and when it did it?
He did have the baseline information, Your Honor.
All he had was a certification.
Correct, Your Honor. And then during the testimony, during that motion to suppress, the officer went into details about what happened during that certification uh-huh. process and how the dog did. And the dog passed with flying colors.
But not always.
But in this situation,
that's the part he wanted to look at. And that's the records he wanted.
And if I remember correctly, and I'm sorry if I misstate this part, and I apologize, is I believe that during the testimony, he said in the testing that occurred that day, the dog passed every single test uh-huh. that he was given. Uh-huh. And that's important, Your Honor, because as many people or animals, we get better with time, we get better with practice. If the dog had, say, failed its first two exams when it was 1 and 2 years old, but the dog is now 7 years old, it had 7 years of practice. I'm a much better tennis player now than when I was 4 years old. You get better and better and better over time. Just as with this dog, it gets better and better and better. If it is reliable now, that is the important part. If it wasn't reliable 2 years ago, that's a separate issue. We need to know its reliability.
But how can you even begin to talk about reliability when you don't have the background information?
And with that, Your Honor, that goes to the Florida v. Harris part, in which it does not authorize fishing expeditions, which is what this would be, to try to go into every single record, every single time, what has happened before. It's analogous in many ways to personnel records for law enforcement officers. If there is an issue with the law enforcement officer in their past, then defense counsel gets those records. They can look at these Giglio issues, try to see what is happening here. There is nothing in this situation, but otherwise, if there's nothing in there about it, they're not entitled to personnel records. And it's a very analogous situation to that, in which the dog, they testified that how the dog performed that day. There was no testimony provided that the alert was inaccurate, and in fact, the alert was accurate because
there
was a large amount of drugs.
Have other circuits said that these records are discoverable?
Pardon?
Have other circuits said these records are discoverable?
Your Honor, I'm not sure on that one. I apologize. At this time, we just ask the court to affirm. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to start where we left off on the Rule 16 issue. Just to answer Judge Briscoe's question, Your Honor, yes, other circuits that have addressed this, the Second Circuit in Foreste and the Ninth Circuit in Thomas have said that these records are discoverable, and those are in Mr. Cate's briefs. And quickly to address the idea that a fishing expedition is the same as personnel records, it isn't, because every time an officer does something, there is not a record made. Every time he does training, every time he does a stop, it's not as if his conduct is documented. It's only if there's a problem is there something put in a personnel file. Whereas a dog, if every time they're trained, they create a record, which is what happened here, then that is what makes up their reliability. And so that is why it's not at all a fishing expedition. Harris, in fact, establishes the opposite. And now to address the prolongation issue, we agree the stop was prolonged by 10 seconds. I think both parties agree. The question is, what is the legal significance of that? The government first tries to say that Frazier is a reasonable suspicion case that has no bearing on this question. That's not true. This court addressed the question of whether the stop was prolonged. and said that it wasn't prolonged because he spent time arranging for a dog sniff instead of doing what he was supposed to do, which was working on the traffic stop. And that's what necessarily prolonged the stop. And then the second argument the government gives is about efficiency and general reasonableness. And we just go straight back to Rodriguez, and that's not the question. Again, general reasonableness is track one. We're on track two. If there is any detour that adds any amount of time.
And that's really the issue. We're on track one or track two.
Yes, Your Honor. And we're on track two. I see I'm out of time. May I briefly finish my answer? And we're on track two here because the detour is not asking about the rental agreement. It's arranging for a dog sniff instead of waiting for the rental agreement. He didn't wait for the rental agreement. So that's why we're not on track one. We're on track two because he instead decided to detour by arranging for a dog sniff, just as in Frazier. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Very well presented by both sides. We appreciate your excellent advocacy. This matter will be submitted. Court is in recess.